This is Forrest Solis interviewing Kara Sly on June 24th, 2015 at 111 for the Creative Push Project. So, Kara, we'll just go ahead and get started. I'll ask you a few questions. Sorry. Could you maybe take us back to around the time of the pregnancy that you'd like to talk about first, and let us know if there was anything going on, maybe weather-wise or events, political events, or whatever that could kind of like just situate us, or anything going on in your life that, you know, we could kind of place ourselves.
The thing I remember most about when I first found out I was pregnant is we had only been married for 2 months, and we knew we wanted to have kids right away, but we didn't know we'd get pregnant that fast. And I was actually a little bit upset when I found out I was pregnant because I didn't know if I was ready to be a mom yet. But I was glad that I had 9 months to have time to get ready to be a mom. But both of my first two kids, they both came pretty quickly. So that was both of the times I found out I was pregnant was a little bit scary for me.
Were you young?
I was 21 when I got pregnant. And I was also 21 when I had my first, I was almost 22 when I had my first one. So I was very young.
How old were you when you had your last one?
Let's see, I was 30 when I had my last one. So
I'd be curious, if not now, to know what the recovery is different between being in your early 20s and being 30.
I've talked to a lot of moms that have had kids in their 20s and then in their 30s. I was barely 30, so I don't feel like I was that old. But as far as, they just feel like they're more tired. I don't know about the recovery from the actual birth, but being a mom, they're just a lot more, they get a lot more tired easily. But my very first was a C-section, so that was a really long recovery. And I didn't really notice a difference between the four V-backs that I had. I didn't notice a difference in the length of recovery. So.
Interesting. So, we're starting with you first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you take any classes or have like a birth plan?
I was pretty unprepared for my first baby. I was just so young, and I thought, it's fine. We don't need to take classes. Because I had my mom and my mother-in-law and sisters-in-law that all had babies, and I don't think any of them had ever done birth classes. So I just listened to their stories and kind of followed along with what they did, and I wished I had been more prepared. I was really scared what it would be like to have my first kid. You know, it was just scary. But I wished I would have been more prepared. And I remember after my second one, I think I'd heard about doulas, and I really wanted to have a doula, but I don't think my insurance paid for it, but I didn't pursue it that much. But now I look back, I wish I would have done more research. But I was just young, and I'm kind of like a laissez-faire kind of personality, just kind of kick back. I don't always, pursue things like that. So I was just like, oh, it'll be fine, especially being young. So, yeah.
How was the pregnancy process?
My pregnancies were pretty, they were pretty easy and uneventful. I know some people go through like emotional issues in their pregnancy. I never had that. I always had postpartum issues, postpartum depression for most of my kids. But my pregnancies were pretty easy. I mean, I was tired and, you know, nauseous a little bit at the beginning with all of them, but they weren't terrible.
What about the water and the weight gain?
I gained more than I should have. I don't remember how much it was, but I think with my first one, I think it was at least 30 pounds, but I was like 130 and I'm 5'9", so I was pretty thin when I first got pregnant. So to gain 30 pounds, I mean, that's, you know, it didn't seem like a lot, but then when I was trying to lose it, I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have gained so much weight. So, yeah.
5'9" mm-hmm. and you were 130 mm-hmm. pounds?
Yeah, when I got married, that's how much I weighed. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yep. I know.
30 pounds is nothing, by the way. Like, we've been hearing the full spectrum.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It could have been more than 30 pounds, but I know it was at least 30 pounds that I gained with my first one. But then there were a few that I hardly, my third one, I hardly gained anything at all, and I lost a lot of weight, but I exercised a lot during that pregnancy. So, yeah.
So, was your husband supportive? Were you working at this time?
I didn't work. I worked up until I had my first child, and then after that I didn't work at all. I mean, I do little side jobs, like I painted murals for a little bit. I taught like a little kids dance class, you know, throughout being a mom, but most of the time I just stayed home with the kids. And my husband, he made pretty good money, so I was able to do that. And that was kind of like what my family did, you know, most of my family, my mom and my sisters-in-law and most people were stay-at-home moms, so that's just what I did. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think I look back and I wish I would have pursued more being an artist, but at the same time, I really enjoyed having that time with my kids, especially now that they're older and they don't need me as much. So, yeah. So, but he was very supportive. I think, a few times when I was pregnant, maybe he was a little bit overwhelmed, especially like the last couple kids are like, here's number four and here's number five. But for the most part, he was really supportive. Because I nursed all my babies, he would, in the first year, he would kind of hand them off to me. Okay, they just want a nurse, you know, but he was helpful, and he was definitely supportive of me during the pregnancy process and the birthing process and everything. So, yeah.
Had you planned on him or your mother being there for the birth?
Yes, he was there for all of the births, and my mom was there for the first two, I think. And then after that, she watched my kids. It was hard for her to be there and see me in so much pain, I guess. So, and I liked it better that way because she kind of stressed me out when she was there. Because she was always so worried about me. So it was good to just have him in the room when the kids were born. Oh, sorry.
So how did you emotionally handle the pregnancy? Were you feeling good about yourself?
Emotionally, I think I did pretty well in my pregnancies. I would get emotional. I think my emotions were up and down, but nothing like after I had the baby. After I had the babies, I always had, you know, without the sleep and the hormone drop and everything, just, it was like, it was not fun. And each one got worse, but the pregnancies were all pretty, they were pretty easy emotionally. I was tired a lot, but I just slept a lot. But then after I had my babies, because I had postpartum depression and anxiety, it was mostly anxiety, I wouldn't sleep. So, the baby would be sleeping, and then I would just be laying there, not sleeping. So after the first couple, I started taking medication to help me. And so when I had my last two, I was already on medication that my doctor said was safe. And that was like night and day, like, it was so much better. So I was glad that I did that, because it's rough when you have all, because you have so much progesterone when you're pregnant, and then all of a sudden it drops down to zero when you have your baby. And then it's like, you're just, at least me, I was just a little bit crazy.
So did you, in terms of also the emotional aspect of being pregnant, did you, like, feel good about yourself as a pregnant person? Like, did you, you know,
I did. I mean, it was weird to have my body change, but I didn't look at myself as fat, or especially because I was so thin to start with, I think. Like, it was just amazing that my body was changing so much. I mean, I didn't really like getting, you know, my face getting chubby or my arms or legs, but it didn't bother me that much because I knew it was all part of being pregnant. I knew there was a purpose for it, so I enjoyed it. I mean, not that I would want to be pregnant again, but I did enjoy being pregnant, and just the idea that I was, you know, carrying a life in my body, it was a pretty amazing experience, all five times.
Had you known that you wanted a big family?
I did. I actually, when I first got married, I really wanted to have seven kids. My parents had six, and my husband at the time, his parents had eight. And I really wanted seven, but he wanted four. So we compromised at five. We knew we were going to have five. Yeah, five is a lot, but it's so wonderful to have the kids have each other. They're close in age, and they're like best friends. You know, I have friends that have less kids, or they have one kid, And it's, I see how much they have to entertain their kids or get playmates, whereas my friend, my kids are just their own playmates, and they're, you know, they're just happy to be together most of the time.
Okay, so do you, can you kind of take us back to the time around the labor and delivery starting?
Well, with my very first one, it's hard to remember. I know that I was in labor for a while. I know that we went on lots of walks to try to make him come. When I, the last appointment that I had with my doctor, I remember him telling me that he was going to be going away on vacation or somewhere on a certain date. And I knew that that was going to be the date that I had my son. I was due the next day, but he was supposed to leave at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I ended up coming into the hospital like at 9 o'clock that morning or something. I don't remember the exact times, but I just knew that was going to be the date. That was May 14th, 1999. And so we got to the hospital, and I had the same doctor for my first two, and then I found a doctor that I liked better for my last three. And I did like this doctor, and he was of, he's of my same faith, he's Mormon, and I felt like he understood, you know, some of my concerns, and well, not that I have different concerns because of my religion, but one thing that did happen that was special to me was I was, so the baby wasn't coming. He had broken my water. He had kind of just been monitoring me, and in the camera and dropped, but he wouldn't come. And they think it was because his head was turned sideways, but he also had a really big head. So, and this was my first baby, so, you know, I hadn't been stretched at all. So, so they decided to do a C-section. I kind of panicked, and I'm sure the doctor could see it in my face. And in my church, they have, the men do something called giving a blessing. I don't know if you've ever heard about that in Mormon church. So they'll give a blessing, and they have like the priesthood. I mean, I know they have that in different churches, but we have something called the priesthood, and they use that authority, and they give you a blessing of like comfort. And so my doctor actually gave me a blessing. It was pretty amazing, and it really calmed me down, and it helped me to feel better. And then they took me into the operating room and cut me open, and I was still awake, but you know, I didn't feel anything. And it was really, I calmed down a lot after that blessing. And it was just a really neat experience to see, I mean, just they were cutting and pushing and pulling and taking things out, and that part was a little bit freaky. But once he was born and he came out, the first time I saw him, he was upside down, and it was just a really neat experience to see him for the first time. I know my husband was pretty freaked out through the whole thing. They asked him if he wanted to videotape the C-section, and he was like, "No way, I don't even want to watch it." He was pretty freaked out, but yeah, it was pretty special. And you know, being our first kid, it was just, I don't know, I don't think there's anything like your first child. Like, you know, I've had four since then. They were all special, but my first one, it's like I just have this, I have a special bond with him, and his birth was just, it was the first one, and it was amazing, you know, just to hear his cry. And I remember exactly how he looked, you know. This was 16 years ago, and I remember exactly how he looked when they pulled him out. His lip was, he has kind of big lips like I do, and his top lip was kind of protruding, and I just remember seeing him cry upside down with his lip sticking out, and I'll just never forget that image because it was the first time I saw him, and it was really special.
So your husband, did they have like a curtain?
Mm-hmm. They had a curtain up. It was in front of my face, so I couldn't see anything from my neck down, but he could see everything, you know, and I couldn't feel anything because they had put a lot of medication in me. So he could see, but it kind of grossed him out. And he said they were taking things out of my body and, you know, cutting things. And I've had other people, he didn't really understand everything, but I've had other people tell me the process, and they take the sack out and they cut it open and pull the baby out. And I don't know if I don't think he actually watched that part because he was so grossed out by it. But I thought that would have actually been really special to see that on video. So I'm a little bummed out that he didn't take a video, but that's okay.
So you're talking about the water sack?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's different, I think.
Well, at least that's how someone described it to me, you know.
That would be amazing to see.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, that would be amazing. So that's great. So then there was something while you were talking I wanted to ask you. So you labored at home. What prompted you to go to the hospital?
Well, I wanted to labor at home more than I actually did. My mom said she labored at home for most of her kids, and I kind of wanted to do what she did because I didn't want to be at the hospital. I was a little nervous about being there and, you know, for several hours and not, or, you know, 24 hours or whatever, and not eating and not drinking, and, you know, that just kind of worried me. But also just being stuck in the bed and not being able to do anything. So I tried to labor at home, but my husband at the time was so worried about something happening that he insisted that we go to the hospital. My contractions were however many minutes, you know, 3 minutes apart or something. And we walked in and said, hey, we're having a baby. And they were like, you don't look like you're having a baby. We'll check you. And then we might have to send you home. But they kept me, you know, I was fine and I was progressing. So they kept me. But it was like 13 hours later that I had the baby. So I was in the hospital for a while and I wished I would have stayed home and labored longer. With my fourth child, I did stay home and labor longer. My second one, I had an epidural that didn't work very well, and that was, to me, more distressing than having a C-section because I had to push and feel everything. And maybe if I had been prepared and known what to expect or how to get through those contractions and how to get through that pain, then it wouldn't have been as bad. But my third one, the epidural worked perfectly. Everything was wonderful. He was 2 weeks early, so he wasn't very big. And he just, everything was perfect. But then my fourth one, she was also 2 weeks early. And I woke up in the middle of the night and was having contractions. And my husband at the time knew that, you know, I labor for a long time. So he said, we didn't have a video camera. So he wanted to run to Walmart and get a video camera. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. So I said, okay, but hurry. So I went downstairs and I was like sitting on my ball and just kind of trying to breathe through my contractions and just relax. And that labor went by so quickly. And by the time he got home, I think it was an hour and a half later, I was having heavy contractions. And so we got in the car with the three other kids. We put the three kids in the car. And every time I would have a contraction, I would kind of freak out a little bit. And my kids kind of were looking around like, what is going on? Why is mom freaking out? So I would have a contraction, freak out, and then turn around and be like, it's okay, guys. It's okay. Mom's fine, you know? And so, so by the time we got to Banner Desert, which we lived, at the time we lived in East Mesa, almost Apache Junction, so it was about a 30-minute drive. But my doctor really wanted me to go to Banner Desert since I was having a VBAC. And this was the doctor that I currently have that I really love. So we got to Banner Desert, and my mom met us there. Usually we would take them to her house because she lives right near there, but it was like, I was having so many contractions so close together that she just met us there and we just like rushed into the hospital. And so I came into the hospital room or, you know, wherever they put me in. I was at a 9 already, but my water hadn't broken. So I said, can I have an epidural? They said, are you sure you want an epidural? This baby's coming soon. I was like, yes, please get me out of pain, because I just wasn't used to it. And I knew that once the water broke, it would be even more intense. But now I really wish I would have just tried to have her without an epidural, because that would have been a neat experience to actually experience everything, you know. So but so they gave me the epidural, and she was born about 20 minutes later after the epidural. And it was, you know, it was really fast and hurried, but I loved it. I loved that it was so quick and I didn't have to sit there and labor forever in the hospital. I loved laboring at home. And so I thought that my very last one would be the same. I thought that she would come 2 weeks early, just like the previous two. I thought the labor would be fast, but it was totally different. And the labor was longer and my epidural didn't work. And, they thought that I should have been, I started crowning before they thought I should have. And so it's just, every birth has been so different, you know. And my fourth one that I had very quickly once I got there, she was only 5 pounds, 12 ounces. So she came out really quickly. I think I pushed twice and she came out. So that was a really amazing birth.
Huh. So back to the first one. So you labored home, but then when the contractions start to get closer together, that's when you decide to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then once you're at the hospital, you go ahead and get your epidural.
I don't get my epidural until the contractions start coming stronger. you know, I try to labor through it for a little while. But I always get it. The first one, I think I got after they broke my water. But I have usually, after that, I got it before they broke my water, just because I know the contractions are a lot stronger once your water breaks. So
your water never has broken naturally then?
They've always had to break it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I was amazed that, you know, at 9 centimeters, my water still hadn't broken. So.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would have worked if I was like a pioneer woman. Like, how would that have worked? I don't know if they ever broke women's water.
People gave birth with the babies in their water sacks, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Then they probably just cut them out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's fascinating. Okay, so when you were in labor and you were pushing, who was in the room? So you had a C-section the first time. Okay, so in the C-section, your husband was there.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's just going to get confusing for me.
I know it is. I'm sorry.
Okay. So then, okay, let's go back to that story. When they pulled out your son, and then I assume they did some prep stuff with him, would you remember the process was after that? Like if you were brought to a room, or were you given your son? Or?
They didn't give him to me right away, which surprised me. So when my son that I had a C-section with, when he was born, they pulled him out. My husband got to hold him or cut the cord. I think my husband got to cut the cord. They took him over and weighed him and did all the prep things before I even got to hold him. I didn't get to hold him for about an hour, which really surprised me. But I didn't really say anything because it was my first one and I didn't really think about it. But yeah, my husband was in the room and then there was a whole bunch of staff helping with the C-section and taking care of the baby. And so...
And then you were moved to a different room?
Yeah, I was there for a little while they stitched me up. I was still in the operating room. And that took a while because they have to stitch up your uterus and your outside. So, I'm surprised how small the scar is. It's only about 4 inches, maybe 5. So then they moved me to another room to recover. And I think the next day the doctor came. It was a different doctor in their practice and he took out the staples. But... Yeah, so I was there for like 4 days in the hospital, maybe 3 days. But it was longer than a normal recovery because it was a C-section.
With the others, you weren't in the hospital that long then?
No, the other was, I was there for a day or two. And I always wanted to be there longer because it was nice to have someone to take care of me. The first time, I just wanted to go home because I didn't sleep at all in the hospital. And I think that was part of my... postpartum issues. Like I just couldn't sleep. The first night I slept for about an hour. And then my husband at the time, he went home to do dishes and he cut his hand open and had to go to the emergency room downstairs from us and get his hand stitched up. So it was kind of stressful in the hospital. So I just wanted to go home. But everyone after that, I just wanted to stay as long as possible because I loved having the nurses take care of me.
Can you talk a little bit about the postpartum?
Yeah, so with my first one, I just knew I couldn't sleep, and I knew I worried a lot about things, but it wasn't terrible, and it went away after a couple months. With my second one, it was really intense, and I wasn't sure if it was because I had a girl and with female hormones. I'm not really sure, but I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, and it lasted for a while, so I actually went to a naturopathic lady who helped me to balance my hormones out. And that helped after about a month of taking certain herbs. It totally helped me. But then with my third one, I tried that again, but I think I got the wrong combination of hormones. And so it just got worse. So then I went on medication. I went on an antidepressant. And I stayed on that for a little while.
So besides the eating and sleeping aspect, did you find that, were you sad?
I was really sad. It was just kind of like being like the really bad PMS days you have before your period, but intensified and all the time. So it was like I was always thinking things that, like everything was a bigger deal than it should have been. And I just would fly off the handle and be sad and cry about things or get really upset really easily. And it was like I knew that it wasn't normal, but it was hard. I didn't know what to do about it because I'd never experienced that before, and no one I knew had experienced it. And I remember with my daughter, my second, I remember being in a really dark place, and I just had to, you know, figure out what to do. And I was really glad when I figured out how to balance my hormones. But I also learned through those experiences, that it wasn't just hormonal. It was also, I went to counseling, and it was also about the way I view things and the way the self-talk. I don't know if you've ever experienced any counseling, but I went to counseling after my second one, and it did help me. It helped me to just understand the like just the way I think, you know, and change some of those habits. It's called, I forget what it's called, but it's some kind of therapy that has to do with changing your cognitive something therapy. Sorry, that's not very helpful. But it helped me to understand myself, and it helped me to understand other people. And since I've had that therapy, and I've gone through postpartum depression and you know, a divorce and all the emotional things I've gone through, I've really been able to understand myself a lot more and understand others, and help a lot of other people that have gone through some of the same things. So I actually feel like it was a blessing to go through those things, even though it was really, really hard, because I didn't understand why I was just so sad and anxious all the time. So it was a hard time. I think that postpartum depression and anxiety is something that is not talked about enough. And I know you're doing this project to help talk about birth stories, but I think that's one aspect of birth stories that is completely surprising to women when they experience it, because they don't know to expect it. And maybe it's more commonly talked about now, but when I went through it, it wasn't, and I didn't understand what was happening, what to do, and it was pretty rough.
Now I think after you have a child and you're going for your like 6-week follow-up, there's like a question, like a Q&A thing that happens, mm-hmm. that they can pinpoint, like, are you sleeping well? Are you eating like normal? Are you having negative thoughts or something? Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is where they start to find that, you know, if people are experiencing it.
But 6 weeks is a long time to go through that. Yeah. You know, to go through postpartum anxiety and depression when you don't understand what's happening to you for 6 weeks, and you don't know that it's something you can get help with medically. You know, you just think it's emotions and what's wrong with me, and you know, so it's tough. I think it's great to have support of other women that have been through the same thing and can help you to cope, you know, and just to talk to and to cry to say, hey, this is going on, oh, that same thing happened to me, you know, and just know that they're not the only one struggling with emotional things and things with their husband and, you know, just everything that you go through after you have a baby. It's not easy. And they don't tell you that, because, you know, I think about my girls, and when I talk about having a baby, and most, you know, I have 3 girls, and they say they don't want to have a baby because they're worried about going through that pain. I mean, I think as they get older, they'll be fine. But I think, you know, I don't want to tell them about everything that I had to go through, because they'll never want to have a baby. So I'm sure my mom had the same attitude. She didn't want to tell me everything she had to go through, because it's a lot. But I think, you know, even though you go through so much when you have a baby, it kind of purifies you and makes you ready to be a mom. You work so hard for that little person, and you work so hard to become less of a selfish person, that it's like you almost have to go through that like refining fire in order to be the person you can be, and to be the good mom that you know you can be. So I don't regret any of the experiences I've gone through, you know, as a mom, and all the emotional stuff, because I know it's made me who I am. So
that's beautiful. That was really beautiful. That was
thanks.
Great. Yeah, that was put really well. Do you want to... Did you touch on all the births that you wanted to mention, or did you want to elaborate a little bit more on?
I think I've touched on all of them. Yeah. Do you have any more questions you want to ask me?
The only thing I would say, and we've been asking people, but you kind of touched on it, would be we're breaking these up into themes. So we're asking the participants to kind of summarize their experience in like a word or a small grouping of words.
So my experience with birthing, even just thinking about what I said, I think refining is probably the word that I would use, because I guess I want to share one more thing along this lines. I think going through the birthing process, it's like, I remember thinking before I had any kids, why does a mom have to go through so much pain to get a child here? But I think it's kind of like, it's it's like a preparation for what you're going to go through for the next 20 years. It's not physical pain, but it's emotional pain, and it's almost like it's testing you and preparing you to see if you can really, you know, cut it and be the mom that your kids need for you to be. And as you know, when kids are little and they get a little cut on their hand, it's like the biggest deal to them, you know? But as they go through more pain, a little cut on their finger isn't a big deal. And as you go through childbirth, the other things aren't as big of a deal. So it's like you have to have that intense experience to recognize that the other stuff isn't a big deal and that you can do it. And going through hard things makes you realize how much strength you have inside. And I think you have to be able to access that strength to be the best mom that you can be and to be the mom that your kids need. And that's why I think the birthing, childbirth is such an important thing. And how do you explain that to a child, you know, that someday maybe going through the birth experience, you know? You know, my daughters, I can't explain that to them. Like, well, it'll make you a better mom going through all that pain, but that's what it is. It makes you a better mom.
And like you said, it also will help them to discover this internal strength that they may not know they even have.
Yes.
You know, and this kind of reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's good. Okay.